Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We are so grateful for your encouragement and support. Please remember that you can always visit our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. If you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website and download the podcast or the MP3 of our broadcast. Details can be found on our website. Today's show, I want to mention a particular person who has been a great support over the years to our program. And unfortunately, I have to do this in memory of him, because Reverend Mel Newman died on July 12th of this year, and we'll be missing his encouragement, his support, and his wisdom, as he's been a great servant of the Lord through the years. And we're thankful for the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ for the resurrection of the dead, and that Mel will receive his reward with the Lord. Today I want to address the topic of the great command, the new command that Jesus gave to his disciples. He addressed his disciples on the evening of his crucifixion, and he spoke to them about many, many things. But this is one of the parts of what he said. After Judas had left to go and betray him, Jesus said to the disciples, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I now tell you. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This was the scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. And in it, Jesus announces a new commandment for his disciples. Now, throughout the teachings that he gave through the Gospels, at the Sermon on the Mount, in the Gospel of Matthew, at various teaching places throughout Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus expands upon the law of God that was given to Moses for the people of Israel. And he insists that he's not there to destroy the law. In fact, he says, not one jot or tittle, not one dot on an I, not one crossing of a T will be forgotten from God's law until he comes again. And so he completes the law, and he actually strengthens the law. From a law that focused very often on the external things we did, Jesus presses into the motive. He takes the command about not murdering someone, and he says, "But if you've been so enraged by your brother, if you are harboring your heart a thought of anger or a thought of hurt for someone because of your anger, then you're already breaking that command." He said about faithfulness, he said that not only should one not physically commit adultery, he said that if you look at a woman in lust, you've already broken the law. And so he tells us to take the law a little deeper, a little farther, in terms of not just loving on the outside, not just being shipshape with the externals, but looking into the heart. He speaks sometimes about not washing just the outside of the cup and leaving the inside of the cup dirty. Can you imagine that if your dishwasher cleaned up the outside of the cup, but all the leftover drink or food or whatever was in the dish remained in there getting disgusting day by day? It would be foolish to wash the outside and not the inside. And Jesus does the same thing with the law. So he really doesn't add to the law until he comes to this place. He expands upon it, but here he introduces a brand new command. And I'm going to suggest that he couldn't have given this command any earlier in history or in his life. We'll take a look at that in a few minutes. But first, I'd like you to hear with me the Glen Campbell song, "You Ask Me How I Know." This is from his album, The Inspirational Collection, and I invite you to listen to it with me.
You asked me when I gave my heart to Christ. I don't know. There came a longing for him in my heart some time ago, and I saw earth's flowers just fade and die, looking for something that could satisfy my thirst. I do not know, I cannot tell you how. I don't know. I only know that he's my Savior now, my Savior now. And then somehow I seem to take the dare to lift my broken heart to God in prayer. Ask me how I gave my heart to Christ. I don't know. There came a yearning for him in my soul so long ago, and I felt first flowers just fade and die, praying for someone that could satisfy my soul. When
we look at the new command of Jesus, we come to the whole question of how much Christians are expected to live by the direction of Jesus. I know it should be obvious. We say that Jesus is Lord and there's no one above him, no one beside him, no one beyond him, that he is the one who directs our lives, and that we ought to be able to say our lives will be completely devoted to him. But we so often fall short of that we may start to wonder just how good do we need to be. Well, Paul addresses the people of Thessalonica when he writes to the Christians there, and he says, "Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen, who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. And now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you to do so more and more. More and more. Sometimes we can beat ourselves, goad ourselves to try and do more and more and wonder where it might end. What does it mean to live a holy life? What does it mean to be sanctified, set apart for God? Sometimes we wonder, how much can a human being do? How good can a human being be? We will say to ourselves, well, I'm only human. And in that way, think that we're excusing sin in our lives. But here's the thing. We need to know exactly how good a human can be. And we need to know something related. God is asking a lot of us when he asks us to love in the way that he's called us to love. And what's the measure of how much he's loved us? In this new commandment that Jesus gives, we see an inkling about the answer to both those questions. You see, God has told us to love one another. He's given us examples in his law about what love will look like when it's played out. He's also given examples in parables and teachings to show us how to love one another. He's told us a lot. He's instructed us through generations. And yet, this new command comes after all those thousands of years of leading the people of Israel, centuries of instruction, of training and discipline. And now we come to a new command to love one another as he has loved us. You see, this command couldn't have come any sooner in history or in Jesus' ministry, because we don't know how God has loved us until we see Jesus' life played out before us, even to the point of the cross. The measure of his love is expressed to a degree in his faithfulness through all the generations. The measure of his love is expressed to a degree in the care that he's given to the people of Israel. The measure of his love is expressed to a degree in his healings, in his teachings, in his patience with his disciples. And yet the full measure of his love is not known until we see this greater love of laying down his life for his friends. Jesus says that precisely to his disciples so that they'll understand what he's about to do. He says, greater love has no one than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And yet Paul tells us that in laying down his life, Jesus was doing something greater than the love that we'd seen in anyone before. For Paul says, you know, that for a good person, one might possibly lay down one's life. But God showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, still enemies of God, Jesus laid down his life for us as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, Jesus has now set a new bar. What is this love that he calls us to give to each other? It's the love that lays down our lives, just as God has laid down his life for us. How close can we come to living out this full love? We're only human. Well, here's the thing. Our scriptures teach us that Jesus Christ was fully human. Fully human. That means he was tempted in every way. That means that he got tired and weak. He got hungry and thirsty. In fact, he experienced every kind of hardship that we ourselves face. He faced rejection from his friends, from his own mother, who came with some of his brothers and said, "Jesus, you need to come away and take some time apart," because they thought he was going mad. He faced rejection by powerful people. He faced thanklessness and ungratefulness from people that he had helped. Whatever you're going through, whatever loss you might have experienced, you can be sure that Jesus Christ knows, not from a distance, but from his own life. And yet, Scripture says, Jesus was without sin. Jesus did not sin. How is it possible that a human being born in the flesh, growing up under human guidance from his mother and father, living in a broken world, how is it that Jesus was able to live a sinless life? Well, we'll take a look at that in more depth, and we'll take a look at what that means for how we can love one another after we listen to this next song, which is from Mark Schultz, and he prays to God, "Give me Jesus." This is from his album called Simply Hymns. Mark Schultz.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning.
Jesus, our brother, who shared with us human weakness, lived a sinless life. He always deferred to his father. Whenever he wanted to go and be by himself, he went actually to be with his father. He said over and over again that he didn't do anything on his own, but he did only what his Father in heaven told him to do. And perhaps we're afraid to be as committed to the Father as Jesus is. Perhaps we don't trust God entirely. Perhaps, rather than being merely human, the problem is that we are of little faith. We don't trust God's way. We can see in Jesus' life that when he put himself fully into the care of the Father, that his Father was ready to help him, support him, and lead him all the way. Did his life always lead him down a flowery pathway? Did he always experience wealth and prosperity and all those things which so many people want to promise? No, Jesus did suffer hardship in following his Father. But his Father was always faithful to him. He could love and give his life, not just on the cross, but daily, as he called his disciples to, because his Father held his future in his hands. Even when he went to the cross, the scriptures tell us that it was for the glory set before him he endured the cross. He trusted that his heavenly Father would make something of this death. He trusted that his heavenly Father would receive him into everlasting life, as he had shared that everlasting life with the Father from all eternity. He trusted the Father and showed us that we can do the same. There's even a hymn that suggests that his death, of course, was for us, and the grave, of course, was for us, and the resurrection was for us, a demonstration to us of God's great love. And it was Jesus coming back to life to continue his gift and his service to humanity of salvation. And he ascended into heaven for us, and he sits at God's right hand for us and intercedes with him for us. Jesus was fully guarded and kept by his Father, even through the sacrifices that his love called him to make. If we want to obey the command to love as Christ has loved, we need to trust God as Christ has taught us, as Christ has shown us. There's so much more to loving one another as Christ has loved us, of actually laying down our lives, both metaphorically, for the most part, but day by day, giving of ourselves, trusting that our Father, who sees what is done, will take care of us in the end. Can we love as Christ has loved? Not without the same help that Christ had, because he was not alone. He had an unbroken relationship with his Father from the very beginning, and he has given to us a restored relationship with God and given us his Holy Spirit so that we can share in the power and the trust and the faith which only the Spirit can give. We need to lean on God more in order to obey him more. We need to accept his help and as we live by his word. Well, that's our message for today, and I hope that you'll continue in prayer as you consider this call to love as Christ has loved. Let me pray with you right now. Almighty God, we do pray that you would show us that your burden is, in fact, a burden that is easy, able to be carried, especially since we share the yoke with you. Lord, help us to trust you and to obey you. And Lord, help us to rejoice in the great gift that you've given us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, once again, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your support and encouragement. We thank you because you keep us on the air week by week. And I want to encourage you to support our ministry financially. Do you know that Good News Ministry has only one cost? The hosts, Brent and George, Juliet and myself, we're volunteers, and so are the people who manage our website, organize our events, and operate our board. Your gift can help us meet the vital expense of this broadcast, which reaches over 7,000 listeners here in the Ottawa Valley and through the web, internet, through the world. Perhaps you're someone listening in another part of the world, and we recognize that in your case, a tax receipt doesn't help you, but your gift would certainly help us. So if you can, please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0, or you can donate through our website. For Canadian visitors, we'd be happy to send you a receipt at income tax time. I also want you to encourage you to tell others about this program and be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now to conclude our program, I'd like to have you listen to a song called Love Take Me Over. This is from the album The Glorious Unfolding by Stephen Curtis Chapman. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
I hear the clock beat, pull me out of my sleep, tell me there's a day ahead of me. Trying to wake up, sipping on a hot cup with the little lady in green. And I'm praying by the man I want to be, saying, God, please take all of me and fill me up with your love. Love, take these words that I'm speaking, love. Take these thoughts that I'm thinking, love. Take me over. Love, fill up all of my space and love. Stand right here in my place. Love, hear this prayer that I'm praying, love. Take me, love, take me over. Love, take me over. Only show love when I really know how loved I am. When it overtakes me, then it animates me, flowing from my heart into my hands. So I'm praying, Father, help my heart believe that right now you're singing over me and fill me up with your love. Love, take these words that I'm speaking, love. Take these thoughts that I'm thinking, love. Take me up.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.